Everything revolves around it in constant exchange with other unique universe centers and swirls around in the streets of London, and yet, when a disturbance occurs in one or a whole section of the network, it sends ripples around the net. We have become more acutely aware of this since our physical senses have been expanded and connected via the media. On the whole, taking our vast numbers into account, taking one section out of the network doesn't matter much to its singularity, because sections are eventually repaired, as in wars or natural disasters, and yet, at the same time, every part of the network is affected just the same. Here is another journal entry offering a novel perspective of myself, which reveals a personal history where I observed my own and very particular aspect of my individual section of the network in close-up. Until then, I had been completely unaware of it. It showed me a comprehensive blueprint of who and what I was and am. This single experience happened on two consecutive days and, to me at least, it shows there is consistency within non-physical reality. Until very recently, I have hardly ever tried meditation lying down on my back, for the simple reason that it is just too easy to fall asleep. One afternoon, when resting on my bed, I noticed how quickly I was able to sink into a very deep surrendered state, entering a kind of trance, without actually falling asleep. During this trance state, I was acutely aware of having totally surrendered to the presence of love, which had been with me all day since getting up in the morning. This underlying aspect of reality has been with me for a while now, which I often perceive as an actual presence and which I refer to as my silent companion. This will be examined more closely later. During my lying down meditation on the 7th of May 2012, this feeling was very intense, almost like an in-love type sensation, but on a much higher and more elevated level. It was a feeling that appeared to have no bounds. Eventually I drifted into a deep and wholesome slumber. When I woke up 2 hours later, I had a very painful strained and stiff neck, having rested awkwardly in a twisted position. I was unable to move my head in any direction without pain. This totally overshadowed and finally obliterated any of the sublime memories of my afternoon nap. To take my mind off the discomfort, I tried to get into the least painful position in my chair and then started browsing on my iPad for reports on near-death experiences found on various websites. I searched under the keyword cities in order to see if I could find reports that would confirm, or were close to, my own experiences. Although some of the reports were sketchily written, they nevertheless catapulted my illustrator mindset into action and supplied sublime inner visions, which allowed me to flesh out the scant description. Very soon, in my mind's eye, every scene described, however sketchy, was turned into vivid landscapes and sceneries that were begging to be manifested on my computer screen as attractive images. But I was tired and, taking a couple of strong painkillers, I decided to call it a day. No sooner had I dropped off to sleep when, in my dream, I was surrounded by the landscapes I had imagined so vividly only minutes before. But this was not all. It gradually dawned on me that this was not an ordinary dream, but a lucid one. The jolt of this realization brought instant clarity. I had an out-of-body experience where I suddenly saw myself as I had never seen my body before, if I can call it a body, because what I perceived was a large stretched-out tapestry in front of my vision that I identified as the totality of myself and what I consisted of. It unveiled why and how I had turned into what I was, including all the unexplored potentials that were still to be realized. It was radiating out from a center with many other centers on the peripheries, which in themselves formed many centers from which in turn other patterns radiated out and connected with intricate and detailed designs like an elaborately crafted quilt. I was no longer the physical bag made out of muscle tissue and bones, but a living organism made out of a complex and multi-layered system of energy, which configured itself into a fascinating conglomeration of radiant beauty and strangely symmetric perfection. Every detail of this was a work of art that nature had created around that awareness, which called itself me, I now recognized because it was laid out in front of me as a fascinating design of complex patterns. I had become a system rather than a person. I was a work of engineering and crafting, with each constituent part having evolved and refined over time as a result of varied interactions with the environment and other similar systems like mine. I was a complex machine made out of millions of finely tuned parts so it could function as an intricate unit and tie as smoothly and with as little friction as possible into a much bigger machine which stretched from horizon to horizon in three dimensions, filling all space as far as the eye could see. There were darker and lighter patches, exuberant ones and fillers, areas that were not clearly defined or developed, but it was all needed to complete the whole. When moving further away, I found, to my utter amazement, that I was connected to other equally beautiful patterns made out of the same stuff, marvelously intricate and unique in their configurations, which in turn were connected to others, until the whole creation of nature's magnificence came into view as a cosmic net of astounding proportions. But there was more. This current aspect of the tapestry of mine was not the only one. My attention switched easily to another layer of existence, which from our temporal viewpoint could be interpreted as a past life, but this too was a relevant aspect of the whole. When I zoomed in, I found myself no longer on this familiar planet of ours. My attention was suddenly located on an alien world, and not just in the form of a single life there, but many, and each one completely different from the other. New identities, new manifestations formed around it, and surprising connections and very unusual experiences. Each detail was simply another part of this gigantic tapestry that was me. In one such life, I was wearing strange garments and handling a mysterious rock. The effect of holding the rock for any length of time was that it rendered me invisible, although only briefly. Then my attention shifted to another scene. This time war was tearing civilizations apart in another life so strange and alien I was struggling to put it into any context at all. Throughout all of this, one thing was absolutely certain: it was the same me, my essential feeling of self, my Jurgen-ness dash was consistent, except that I was always dressed in another life, in other appearances and in an alien distant world with its alien environments and customs. Another scene appeared the moment my eyes were drawn, not far from this center into a neighboring one. This time I was a geologist, explorer, or perhaps a miner, and part of a group of six people. We had entered a gigantic iceberg or soft crystal via a massive cave. The inside was lit by a mellow light emitted by the crystal itself. Our group split up and started working on various parts of the cave. Buried just beneath the surface of the soft crystal rock were various changing hues of light. By carefully scraping the surface, living images emerged. That is the nearest I can reference it, because there is nothing within my present vocabulary that is able to accurately describe what I saw, what the exact nature of these 3D images were or their purpose. We appeared to be mining for life forms which totally defied anything I had ever known, and yet it made complete sense. All of this was happening within my being as an infinite self, the quintessence of my Jurgen-ness tapestry, which in its essence was vast and intimately connected to something vaster still. This was also me the moment I perceived the whole, and then I understood why love and compassion was such a natural linking aspect towards all these life forms I was a connected part of. Looking at myself in this context, I was both insignificant and humble, while at the same time awesome and majestic. It was when I became aware of this greater me that I was, that another dimension opened and the light came rushing in, or should I say the light came rushing out. I had seen manifestation and now I became aware of the brilliant essence that manifested it. It had been there while I was observing and studying it and had been subtly tugging at me, to prise me off my fascination with its slower aspect, as if to say, "Come on, let's go, this is not the true reality of what you are." Then I was consumed by a billowing cloud of light, gone or perhaps absorbed, I could not tell. A moment later, I became aware of my physical body here in physical reality needing the bathroom. I opened my eyes, sat up on the edge of the bed and instantly felt the sharp pain in my neck. I moved my hand across it. My hand was a curious object, a divine hand that felt unattached, made of light, and as I touched my physical skin, the pain dissolved. I stood up and moved my head slowly from side to side, then in a circular motion. There was no pain, but there was also not me as a physical body. The one that had risen from the bed and wanted to go to the bathroom was an unlimited source of light, a nebula of light or perhaps a massive sun, so great that it contained the whole universe. It was light from the fine strands of its hair to the tips of its toes, in this flesh. My consciousness had changed very little from where I had been only moments earlier. I was still just as lucid in an awareness that stretched everywhere and left no atom in this vast universe of mine untouched. Wherever I directed my attention, a great wave of incredible love rolled towards it and illuminated the spots surrounding it. In one moment, I understood what real blessing means and the incredible healing power of love. I thought of various places on earth and my attention would roll towards it like a juggernaut of light and spread light for miles around. With a jolt I realized that I was who I was meant to be all my life, and that from now on I would be unable to be anything else. After I came back from the bathroom, I went back to bed and sank into a deep and wholesome sleep. When I woke up I was fully back in my body, my old self completely restored and plunged back into its accustomed state of unawareness, the one that was trying, day by day, to incorporate a deeper knowledge in its life, yet was only able, despite all its valiant efforts, to carry a faint reflection of its bigger self. I was reduced back into mundane existence, all the wonders of my radiant self withdrawn from this modest physical heap of my body. Was it all a dream? All the tangible evidence that I had brought back was that the pain in my neck had gone for good, but I was my old and ordinary self again. The 8th of May 2012, homesick for a lost planet. Although the following experience no longer took place on the super-dimensional level, it follows on from the one I had the day before. It is rare that I visit the same place so quickly in succession. I imagine it was because of the potency of the experience the night before, in which I described being an inhabitant of an alien planet. Here I was again, fully lucid with full recall, not of the experience from the previous day but of the actual historic event, unearthed from the mists of time and another place in our galaxy. As a matter of established protocol, lucidity is automatically tested and almost instinctively converted into a state of full reality awareness, where lucid dream elements or fantasy overlays and projections are automatically dismantled. Following this protocol, the surroundings had not changed. I had total recall by actually being on that planet again and began noting mentally the things that were happening around me in as much detail as possible. There were too many to remember them all or their inner substance, mainly because they were bizarre, with little that could be related in any way to our known world. This makes it a tremendous challenge, hard to remember the finer points and harder still to put into words. However, a couple stood out. In the previous experience, I was seeing myself handling the mineral, here I was actually mining it. I had total recall of being part of a mining operation that actually sourced this strange type of mineral that had the side effect of rendering people temporarily invisible if they came into physical contact with it. When the effect subsided, the body was restored to normal. It was also used for healing, but its main application was in engineering, because of its ability to dissolve inorganic matter completely without leaving behind any waste. I observed lots of other unique aspects of this planet. The civilization was clearly highly advanced. There was a powerful sense of community, with no conflict among the people. All efforts and energies were used to promote science, the arts and culture to create a paradisiacal environment based on harmony, cooperation and solidarity. I felt a powerful connection with the people and every aspect of this world. It had been my home planet at one stage and I felt a powerfully strong attachment. Then the life sequences on this planet came to an end, but now, finally, after millennia had passed, I visited the planet again. I remember a long, enjoyable journey through space, at first following an Earth satellite, then traveling through space and beautiful nebula, past suns and stars until I eventually arrived on my home planet. This time it was a nice desert. There were no people, but it was still beautiful. It was covered in snow and beautiful crystals, some looking like flowers, arranged in intricate fractal tapestries, all glistening in stunning glory under a bright sun. Suddenly I became extremely sad as I clearly identified it as my home planet that had been deserted and all my people had gone. I knew then I had lost my home forever and I would never return. When I got up the next morning I was extremely depressed. When I made my tea the tears streamed down my face and I was glad that nobody saw me. The feeling of homesickness was overwhelming, so powerful that I sank deeper into depression. I tried to meditate, but was unable, the sadness was almost unbearable. My wife and I have frequently joked, when watching the news on television, that we couldn't understand what we were doing on this planet, where most events reported were dictated by a level of clear insanity. Even when I was a young child, my older brother used to tease me, telling me I was not from here and that I was living on another planet. As a child I would never take any of this seriously, even then I was a rational guy. Later on, when they happened, I kept all my out-of-body experiences a secret and not even my closest friends knew about them. This particular morning I found myself rationalizing the experience in order to dispel the sadness and come to grips with my depression. After all, although lucid, it could still be seen in psychological and analytical terms. I figured a rational explanation would serve best, that the home planet represented my attachments to this world and that in order to progress to a higher level, I would have to let go of them. But hard as I tried, all this felt hollow and it didn't do anything to dispel my pain of loss and great sadness. I didn't even fully realize how powerful my emotions were until later in the morning when Julia asked what was wrong with me and why I looked so down. It was only then that I finally broke down in tears. My sobbing stopped me from speaking and explaining, I wouldn't have known where to start anyway. Fortunately, my wife, a psychotherapist and counselor, was patient and empathic and waited until I was ready to talk. I began by confessing my homesickness and that I was unable to shake off the powerful feeling. Having emigrated from my homeland of Germany, homesickness could easily be understood. Then I gave her the whole story. Naturally, this is the kind of irrational story you cannot easily share with other people for obvious reasons. But when talking to my wife about it, we considered another aspect. She, from a psychoanalytical perspective, pointed out that I had left my home country nearly 40 years ago when we settled in England, that I had also left all my family and friends behind, some of whom had since died. She drew attention to the fact that in all these years she had known me, I had rarely showed any signs of emotion or loss. She pointed out that my prolonged meditation might account for my bringing these deep-rooted feelings back to the surface. She also drew my attention to another fact, that I was retiring in a few months' time and that, with it, I would also leave the most vivid aspects of my life behind me, that of having raised a family with children who were now adults with families of their own. It is only natural to feel such a powerful sense of loss. My dream, as she referred to it, had a very powerful and rational psychological explanation. Nevertheless, she felt sympathetic too towards my other feelings, as she too sometimes feels out of place here herself and had a subtle awareness that felt similar to mine. Whatever the interpretation, although the feeling of sadness had eased during the day, I was not fully convinced by the analytical take on my experience. However, I will have to accept that consciousness is unfathomable and may have many parallels. The things we experience are reflected on many layers of reality, which simply demonstrate how truly great and mysterious consciousness is. But whenever I think of the event, the feeling of homesickness still comes back to me even now. The 10th of September 2011, thought cities not having had any jobs for several weeks, I spent most of the morning trying to drum up work, phoning my agent, making a list of clients to contact and thinking about ways of covering the financial shortfall. I was concerned, but only superficially so. I finally dropped the worries like an unnecessary distraction. Ever since getting out of bed in the morning, I had been carried by a persistent joy. I felt this was what I should be paying attention to, and it made everything else appear superficial. Now, as soon as I focused on this undercurrent of joy, it blossomed and filled me with firm knowing and reassurance that everything was okay as it was. It also ignited in me a powerful urge to find its source. I took my wife to her counseling job and then went to the supermarket to do some shopping. Standing in the queue at the checkout, I felt the urge to get home quickly and enter my meditation room. As soon as I felt my impatience, an inner voice told me to relax and let go. At that moment, everything became still around me. All urges and needs dissipated. I felt an incredible calm, as if I had been taken out of time and placed into a no-time zone, where this concept of need no longer existed. I noticed that all the people in the queue in front of me appeared to have been similarly taken out of their time zones. They were chatting to each other, and the cashier was friendly and conversed with the customers as if they were old friends. Suddenly, I felt a powerful sense of belonging and incredibly privileged to be part of this human community around me. Here we all were, living in the moment, paying for our goods and being part of an intangible yet very present consciousness. Every person appeared filled to the brim with this present awareness. I felt an overwhelming love for everyone and tried to contain the deep rapture I felt rising within, which had been building up all morning. I was on the verge of letting it overwhelm me, and the only way I could stop it was by opening the heart gates and letting the energy flow into the environment around me. When taking my shopping to the car, I felt I was already home, at a more authentic home than my own house. The serenity surrounding me was tangible. Everywhere I looked, I felt a buzzing spiritual energy. Every particle was alive, everything my senses touched had a powerful presence, infused with intelligence and primordial consciousness and being. When I arrived home, I unloaded my shopping and stored it away. Every movement, every hand gesture was performed through me by a presence which knew of an underlying significance I had never before considered. I felt an incredible gratitude that I had a house, food to eat, and a place I could retire into and express my thanks in meditation. I went into my room and sat down. Closing my eyes, the light was already there, a powerful manifestation of the stillness which had carried over into my meditation. I passively watched and waited to see how it would unfold as I surrendered to the light. All around, I saw incredible vistas of luminous lands emerging, heavenly planes opening up in unexpected complexities, richness, and varieties. I was swept along by a sublime sound current, which did not arrive via my ears, but from an infinite realm far beyond the land I was traveling through, beckoning me to follow. It was a haunting melody, enticing me to let go and transfer control to a force I knew had my best interest at heart. I followed obligingly, being swept away over wide open fields, which led into a vast delta landscape made out of a repeating paisley pattern, all covered in exotic plants of unknown species. I then took a side turn, following the melody into an open valley, carved out by a river flowing through it. The valley was hemmed in by steep crystalline rocks glistening in an abundance of precious stone. Big boulders, broken away from the rock, studding the landscape like enormous jewels. I saw living emanations, protuberances coming from the rocks and reaching out towards me as I passed by. I was attracted closer to the river's surface because its enchanting sound was irresistible and mixed so perfectly with the melody I had been following. Eventually, the stream branched out into many arms, filtering into a vast delta, carving out tiny enclaves and so creating a giant tapestry of intricate designs. The type of vegetation on the little islands changed from exotic flowers to clusters of flowering trees of a completely new and alien species, forever changing and evolving into new varieties. None of this felt strange, and despite its unusual appearance, I knew I was on home ground, feeling a persistent and continuous sense of welcoming. As I progressed, the light increased. I felt as if the light was descending on me from above, like a great loving hand bestowing a blessing. A deep sigh rose up from my heart as I received a shower of rainbow sparks raining down from a space of light above me. The touch was most gentle but increased until I was encased by a luminous light, which let me know the reason why I was here. I recognized it as the same light I had felt in the morning when I woke up, before I spoiled it by considering how to earn my worldly keep. It was here telling me of a superior reality and reminding me that whatever I had considered to be important were simply thoughts with no material relevance or substance, and that, without me concerning myself, everything had already been taken care of. Where I was now was my destiny. Now there was peace, and I felt it spreading from this point throughout the whole region, leaving behind a quintessential sense of being. I then became aware of my position in my meditation chair. I felt a heavy but not unpleasant pressure on the top of my head, and when I opened my eyes the room felt strangely lit up. Light was all around me. I closed my eyes again and was instantly back home where I belonged, at the heart of all. Suddenly I remembered why I was here, and the thought like a command came to me, "Take me to the cities." Instinctively I was instantly pointed towards a vast horizon. A gigantic lotus flower emerged in the distance, rising out of the glorious mists, which was the diffused light of an unworldly dawn. It was a city designed in the shape of a lotus blossom, symmetrical petals arranged around a luminous center. Around the outer perimeters were countless morphing shapes of light and millions of sparks buzzing around like bees trying to extract nectar from a blossom. These were all people, individual souls. Each petal had distinct features and colors that percolated through different shades. I could have easily joined the swarm to discover more about the individual souls and the inner sanctuaries of air-dwelling places. Instead, I asked to be taken to another city and was instantly directed towards a huge swamp. The edges were lined with exotic trees, behind which a tropical rainforest covered everything as far as I could see. The light had a pink tinge like worldly evening light, but for evening it was much too bright. The waters were crystal clear, and I could see another world emerging beneath its calm surface. Then, ahead, I saw a glow surrounding huge organic egg-shaped structures growing out of the ground and resting on an ornate island inside a lagoon, like the nesting ground of a giant dragon. The island was covered with different clusters of spheres around a larger center, hundreds of domes of different shapes, colors and designs, yet all belonging together, harmonizing and complementing each other. This too was a city, a vast information center. Each large dome, the smallest being at least hundreds of meters in height, formed a vestibule of knowledge and was frequented by swirling lights. Each part of the city was connected via enormous arched tunnels. I was amazed that I could see the inside and the outside simultaneously, as well as being able to connect instantly with the minds that populated this living structure, getting an intimate understanding of why they were here. Their commerce was knowledge, socializing, benefiting from each other's experience and presence, and merging consciousness, souls and minds. My vision began to expand. I suddenly could see the whole world. I was no longer located in one place, but my mind encompassed everything at once, the vastness as well as its detail. My mind had transcended its barriers. I saw and understood everything about this world I was a visitor of. There are more and bigger cities here than on our physical planet. We are a social species that fulfills nature's purpose best by working with and for each other. The cities here are luminous regions with sublime architecture, generally radiating out from a great center, which sometimes features a temple. They can be the dwelling places of highly unfolded individuals, who are in constant exchange with the unity consciousness on the highest level. Their occupants are the most sublime and enlightened individuals, who reside in a permanent state of absolute realization of consciousness, having become the living conduits for it to disperse its blessings and power. The many palaces and buildings are, in a way, like reflections of the people who manifested them. Their design and appearance give an indication of the occupier's personality and characteristics. They are a reflection of their spiritual power and realization as well as their individuality. When a visitor enters one of these central temples through the main entrances, they will instantly become beneficiaries of the energies focused inside and be made aware of the sublime atmosphere in store for them.